All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. We've got a few more videos here of the hearings that occurred with Kristi Noem and Joe Kent and others. There are a few other pretty important events that occurred then, but then we're going to move on. So we've got NATO Chief Mark Rutt, or Root, whatever his name is, basically saying that World War III is on the table and they're gearing up for it. In case you had any, you know, uncertainty about that, he clears the air pretty well. So let's go first to clip number four here. This is Kristi Noem, again, just giving back to the Democrats exactly what they deserve. Let's watch.
The officials' assessment that the United States has been operating in a heightened threat environment for several years now.
Yes.
Yes or no? Would you say New York City is susceptible to these kinds of security threats?
Yes, and that's why they should spend.
So with New York City being the number one terrorist target in the nation,
the federal government gave them.
With New York City being the number one, I reclaim my time. With New York City being the number one security threat in this nation, it's unconscionable that you would cut $134 million in urban area security initiative funding for the city of New York. What compelled you to knowingly make our cities less safe with these funding cuts?
What compels you, your mayor, and your governor to release thousands of criminals on the streets rather than to turn them over to ICE? You'd rather release
Secretary Noem, you cut $134 million
in funds to support the security of New York City.
Yeah, that was actually a great comeback. That was actually exactly what he should be asked. I mean, it's not that complicated. They just don't want the laws being enforced. Now, it's ridiculous. It's absurd, but that's just the way it is. I don't know what else to tell you. We can go to clip number 20 here. This was a pretty jaw-dropping admission by Joe Kent about just how many foreign terrorists the Biden administration let over the border knowingly, on purpose. Let's watch. Do we have this one? It's... Yes? No? I just had it. I'm not sure. Let's go to clip number eight here. This is the other bombshell video. And we'll show Joe Kent on the other side. But here's a big dumb idiot Democrat not messing up his words, but lying about what happened. Let's go to
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist.
No, wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can.
He shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Mr. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question? It was an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate situation. It wasn't an accident. It's just a terrible accident when the Afghan walked up to the two National Guardsmen and shot their gun at him. And of course, this is actually happening regularly. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is on the streets of Washington, D.C., two National Guard being harassed by a Democrat who has gotten his talking points from the Seditious Six and is right now encouraging and trying to compel disobedient behavior from our armed forces. He should probably be arrested and charged with that, but he won't be. Let's watch.
All right, guys, what's up? You guys understand the Constitution. I'm sure you understand the Posse Comitatus Act. What are you guys doing here? Sergeant, have you heard of Captain Dylan Blaha or Staff Sergeant Demi Palachek? What about you, Private? Do you understand that you're currently violating the Constitution? That you're currently following illegal orders? Are you aware of that fact, son? Where are you guys from? West Virginia? Or is that Arizona? That looks like an Arizona patch, huh? You guys are smart.
Watching the Alex Jones show today, he went over just how absurd it is. These people are trying to claim posse comitatus. They don't understand what they're saying. It's because it doesn't apply. No, they're literally just trying to cause dissension in the ranks in order to foster the Civil War conditions that they're so desperate to create. I got some things to say about on the other side. Stay with us.
We have a new product in and theellisshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexhostore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. We found it. We found the video. It's NCTC director and, I might add, friend of the show, Joe Kent, dropping this really jaw-dropping fact about what the Biden administration's treason did to our country. Here's Joe Kent.
We've made significant progress under President Trump's leadership. We have the jihadis of ISIS and Al-Qaeda on the run in Iraq and Syria, thanks to the decisive action and the strikes that we've taken there recently since President Trump took office in January. However, we have a persistent threat from the individuals that were allowed into this country by the previous administration. The number one threat that we have right now, in my view, is the fact that we don't know who came into our country in the last 4 years of Biden's open borders. What we have identified is alarming, and I want to share that with you today. We just recently put out a warning of the heightened risk of terrorist attacks posed to the homeland by terrorists pretty much of all stripes, but in particular from ISIS and from Al-Qaeda. NCTC has been crunching the numbers and going through the sheer volume of known and suspected terrorists that are in the country that came in under the Biden administration. So far, NCTC has identified around 18,000 known and suspected terrorists that the Biden administration let come into our country. These are individuals who, under normal circumstances, would never be allowed to enter our country because of their ties to jihadi groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yet the Biden administration not only let them into the country, and in many cases facilitated their entry into the country, just like the entry of the Afghan terrorists who committed the terrorist attack here just before Thanksgiving, killing one of our National Guard members and wounding another. That Afghan was brought into the country as a group of over 100,000 Afghans who were brought here during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These individuals, despite what has been reported, were not vetted properly to come into the United States. The individual terrorist who committed the attack in D.C., he was vetted to serve as a soldier in Afghanistan. The Biden administration essentially used his tactical level vetting as a ruse to bring him here and to bring him into our communities. And we've seen the tragic results of that. Now, that Afghan, that attacker, that terrorist is just one of 88,000. We've identified 2,000 of that group of 88,000 who have ties to terrorist organizations. We're working right now hand in hand with DHS and with the FBI to run down this 2,000, the Afghans who came here under Allies Welcome who have ties to terrorist organizations, and additionally the other 16,000 individuals with ties to terrorist organizations that Biden let into our country. That is probably the top terrorist threat that we face right now. And that doesn't include the individuals who came here illegally through the open border. That number, alarmingly, remains unknown at this time. We're trying to figure out who those individuals are as well.
18,000 known terrorists led into our country through the legal immigration system, not even accounting for 4 years of wide open borders with millions upon millions of people passing over with no documentation to say who they are one way or the other. So all we can really say is there is at least 18,000 known terrorist sympathizers, associates, people in these groups in America today. This is why this whole thing feels like a Twilight Zone episode. This is why this whole thing feels wrong is because we are still acting like we're not at war. We're still acting like we haven't figured all of this out 10 years ago. And why it's so frustrating seeing the lack of really powerful action from the Trump administration, because what we have been subjected to demands orders of magnitude more pushback than what they're getting. And I can't even call what they're doing pushback. I mean, again, just back to the levers of power. Like, I just picture, like, if I was Trump, I mean, everybody involved in this would be in jail. Everybody involved, from Alejandro Mayorkas on down. They did this on purpose. They brought in 18,000 terrorists. How does that many terrorists even exist? Like, what? And they were brought in here, and that's not even counting the illegal immigrants. Like, we have been invaded. That is an army. 18,000 people is a very sizable army. And those are the people that legally came here despite being known terrorists. This is a war. We have been invaded. That's what, again, it's just like looking at what has been done to our country. Even just one of these things would be justification for like full-fledged all of nation mobilization, like we're in a war. Just that stat, just the 18,000 terrorists would be more than enough, in my opinion, to be like, we're going like military law until we can find these guys. We're doing full-fledged military crack. We're bringing all the boys back from Germany and Qatar and anywhere else we have them. They're coming home, and we're going block by block, clearing this out, because we've been invaded, because we're at war on our home soil. And that's just the legal immigrant terrorists. You pile on top of that the illegal immigration, mind-blowingly evil what they did to us. Then on top of that, the COVID pandemic, all of the crimes they committed there. And that's not even getting in to the fact they're only able to do this stuff because they stole the election in 2020 after they failed to run a falsified investigation through Crossfire Hurricane against Trump in the first administration. So it's like, what have we done in response of this? We indicted James Comey for a couple months, and now that indictment is not happening. That's it. That's what we've done. The latest numbers out of the Homeland Security say 300,000 deportations plus 1.2 million self-deportations. That's like a month. That's like a month worth of intake under Joe Biden. So when are we going to take this seriously? Because we have to, and because we are running out of time, and because we don't have a choice, and because, I mean, I genuinely think we might have crossed over the threshold of like, maybe we can't do this legally. Maybe there's a reason nothing has happened in 11 months. Maybe, the Trump administration's utter failure to accomplish what they promised on the campaign trail. And I get it's only the first year and we're not even done the first year. But when's it going to happen? I mean, literally, it's the statute of limitations has expired for some of these things. They're not even moving forward on most of them. Instead, the Republicans are investigating Trump's people. Like, they're the ones investigating Hegseth for the boat thing, or investigating Ed Martin for trying to go after the actual criminals. Like, we're being blocked up everywhere. So it's like, okay, what happens if the Democrats get back in charge? I know they keep telling us, like, they're not shy about it. They literally are gearing up, like, they are, as we speak, collecting evidence for their projected prosecutions of the Trump administration. Nobody involved in the Trump administration is going to be a free person 10 years after they get out of office, maybe 5 years. The Democrats move fast when they want to. Not because they did anything wrong. Not because anything they're doing is illegal. That didn't matter the first time, did it? Didn't matter when it was January Sixers getting thrown into prison for decades. They never did anything wrong either. So, are we at the point now where it's like, we have to start the Civil War now while Trump is in office? Because at least then, the military chain of command ends with somebody who's ostensibly our guy? Or do we wait until the Democrats start kicking doors down and then we try to stand up? But by that point, you know, they've purged the military and are turning it on the American people. I mean, what are we waiting for? Exactly. And I can't keep reading headlines like this. This is from Hot Air. This is from today, hotair.com. Quote, you better believe we're looking into Omar's alleged marriage to brother as immigration fraud. So according to Tom Homan, they're investigating Ilhan Omar for her immigration fraud. So we have another investigation for something that we know incontrovertibly to be absolutely true. We've known it for 5 years. I'm telling you, what do you mean you're looking into it? What do you mean alleged? It's been admitted by people in the know. I believe it's been admitted by Omar herself, if I'm not mistaken, or like her father said it. It's on the intake forms. This investigation should take, and I'm not exaggerating, 20 minutes. This shouldn't be an article, but because by the time the article's written, the investigation should be done and the article should no longer matter. This investigation is so simple. Here's what you do. You go to whatever the database is for immigration. You search her name. You see if she married her brother. 20 minutes is generous. It should take 5 minutes. And you know what? It doesn't even take 5 minutes to show you the many, many, many clips we have of Ilhan Omar herself admitting she never abandoned her allegiance to her home country, meaning that the oath she took in which she swore to God that she abandoned her allegiance to her former country is null and void and doesn't count, and she can be denaturalized and deported for lying on her admission form. So, like, there are so many things like this that if we wanted to, if we had a competent and patriotic government, this would never be an issue. First of all, Ilhan Omar wouldn't even be here. She's here on false pretenses. She'd be deported. She certainly wouldn't be a congresswoman. But even if she's a congresswoman, even if, you know, we're here now, if we had a competent and effective government, she would have been gone the first month of the Trump administration because she broke the law, because she lied on her intake form. And she married her brother as another manipulation to get around the immigration system, as well as her participation in or association with the people who ran the scam of Minnesota stealing billions of dollars. Ilhan Omar and Ahmed Nur Said Elmi's Omar's brother marriage certificate. Don't worry, they're looking into it, guys. Tom Homan's looking into it. Okay. Let us know. Let us know when you decide to do anything about any of this, okay? Please let us know. We'd love to see it. And it really is continuous, and it's just like all this government does is, like, honestly, I feel like it's mocking us. Honestly, I feel like all they do is mock us by showing us that they know exactly what they should be doing and then not doing it. By telling us exactly what we want to hear and then doing nothing about it. This might be the best / worst example, the most infuriating example yet. And it's got a lot of competition. Governor Pritzker of Illinois writes, today I've signed into law legislation that expands legal protection for the people of Illinois. And it's basically about stopping ICE from getting illegal immigrants if they're going to the doctor or attending classes. And so Homeland Security at DHS.gov, the official Homeland Security X account, says Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution still clearly states, quote, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land. By signing this law, Governor Pritzker violated the Supremacy Clause. Hope the headlines and social media likes are worth it. Okay. You're Homeland Security. You're the government. Why are you telling us this? They're citing the part of the Constitution he's violating, but they're not arresting him for it. What is going on? What? What? Go arrest him. What are you talking about? We are now in a situation where the Democrats break the law, and the response from the Trump administration is to tweet about the fact they broke the law, and that's it. And that's it. That's all they're doing. I don't understand you guys. I don't get it. Did he violate the Supremacy Clause? I guess the Insurrection Act is in order then. I guess instead of telling us which article of the Constitution he's violating, you should invoke the Insurrection Act and haul his ass to prison in chains, probably, I think is what should be done. Why are you tweeting about it? Am I the crazy one here? They commit sedition and make a video telling the troops, disobey your orders. Trump gets up and goes, the sedition clause has been violated and they should be hung. Not even a parking ticket for them. They haven't gotten a slap on the wrist. They haven't gotten censured by their fellow congressmen. They haven't been hauled in front of a court martial. They haven't even been slapped on the wrist by the military code of conduct that they're still under. Some multiple of them. They haven't been, had their security clearances pulled. Nothing has happened. So the same people are out making even more offensive and egregious and illegal and seditious comments. So now I've got Governor Pritzker actively signing a law that is in effect a statement of secession. Like he's basically declaring his state as no longer a part of the union, no longer subject to the union's laws. And the Trump administration's response is to tweet that he's violated the supremacy law. To tweet. And that's it. It's the type of thing where, like, I should be able to say, like, just saying this once, I should be able to read this. But it's like, it's so crazy. I don't even have words to describe. I just have to repeat it over and over, just hoping that it sinks in, that you understand what the F is going on here. And it's not funny. And it's like, I'm genuinely worried. I always thought the whole time I was here at InfoWars, believing in the Constitution, believing in the First Amendment, believing that, hey, I'm not committing violence. I'm not calling for violence. I'm not lying about anybody. What do I have to fear? We have the First Amendment. I can say whatever I want. I can publish a video or I can go live and I can say whatever I want and there's nothing they can do about it because I have the First Amendment. Then January 6th happened. And after January 6th, the videos and stories of people getting their doors kicked in and being arrested by the FBI just by never committing a crime. It hit me that the First Amendment is a very tenuous thing. that as many people believe in the First Amendment as they do in America, it's not sufficient. It's not enough. They will still violate it. They will still come for us. We don't have to do anything wrong. Like, do you understand that difference? The difference between believing that you're in a system in which you do no wrong, you're protected, to the understanding that it actually doesn't matter if you do anything wrong. It only matters if they want to get you. Is a very terrifying thing. And to feel, especially as somebody who was live on January 6th, like I was literally, I could not fall asleep at night. And I was laying there fully expecting to hear my door kicked in. It's a very real thing. When they're kicking down the doors of people, when they're hauling people out who have literally done nothing, who are in many cases targeted specifically because they are influencers. When people I knew that weren't even at the Capitol were being arrested. Do you have any idea how much worse it's going to be next time? Do they have any idea what the situation is they're forcing us in? Maybe I just need to read the passage from Gulag Archipelago about not loving liberty enough. The good news is I think we do love liberty enough. I don't think it's going to go the way that they want. Do you have any idea the blood that's going to flow if Democrats ever get back in power? They're not kidding. They are going to try to arrest everybody who opposed them. They are going to start with the most prominent and visible people. And as I've said many, 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 many times before, and as is written in our Constitution, our free speech is given to us by God. The government cannot take it away. So there's going to be a point in the next 4 years, because of the Republicans, because of the Trump administration, because of their failure, there's going to be a time in the next 5 years that the American people are going to have to decide whether we really believe in free speech or not. Whether we really believe it was given to us by God and any attempt to rob us of it is a violation of our God-given rights and is something we're willing to kill or die for. Or whether they get to do exactly what they did with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and Joe Biggs and others who, despite never having committed a crime, subjected themselves willingly to the justice of the United States, only to be utterly screwed, railroaded with a abject show trial, which should have, if Trump hadn't won, left them in prison for 20 years. I don't have any faith in this system. I don't have any faith that if I get arrested for my speech, that I'll be able to go in and say, all I did was speech and we have the First Amendment. And they'll say, you're right, we do. You're free to go. I have no faith in that. I'm under the belief that if the Democrats get back in power and come for me, that'll be the last time I hug my kids ever in my life. They'll take me away. They'll throw me in a cell. And I'll rot there for the rest of my life. If the Democrats get their way. That's not actually going to happen. Because if they try to do that, I'm going to kill them with my guns. And that's the lesson that needs to be learned by the police in America. You're going to get killed.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic Frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, trying to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex, things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, which are amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. Right. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For it, you go to mypillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. It's you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not 29, not as low as $29.98. And I'm going to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to mypillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm telling you, to me, the top story right now is just the utter and complete failure of the Republicans to do anything necessary or good or even debatably sufficient to stop the horror that will destroy us should we ever let the Democrats back into power. And again, you don't have to listen to me. You can actually just pay attention to what they themselves have promised. And this is what they have promised for us. This is the list of what the Democrats themselves have pledged to do the moment they get back in power. From End Wokeness: if the left regains power, crackdown on social media speech, mass amnesty means 30 million plus new voters, they'll end the filibuster and pack the Supreme Court, they'll invoke nationwide mail-in voting plus no voter ID. They'll bring in D.C. and Puerto Rico as new states, along with their, you know, incumbent senators. So they'll get four new senators. They'll abolish the Electoral College, making everything a popularity contest that they control. And then they'll arrest everybody that's ever worked with Trump. And at the very least, they'll debank them, cancel them in public life. If they're lawyers, they'll strip them of their bar certification. And certainly they'll be boxed out of any, you know, government programs from there on out. Once the left take power, they'll make sure that we will never get it back. So why aren't we doing either these things or the inversion of these things? Because I can add so many more. Yes, they will give mass amnesty to everybody that crossed over. And at that point, that's the end of America by itself. But they'll also open the border at the same time that they give mass amnesty, which will make the flood into this country under Biden look like a trickle compared to people who have now been all but guaranteed citizenship just by getting over here. So not only will we get 30 million new voters, which will completely rearrange the congressional map to give even more power to Democrats, not only will guarantee that Democrats win the public, popular vote because they deliberately brought in people from leftist areas, as we have heard on hidden camera by the people that did it last week. James O'Keefe caught them on camera saying, well, we're bringing in people from South America because everybody in South America is a leftist and Americans aren't. Yeah, they're bringing in voters. But they'll open up the border and then we'll have 30 million more. I mean, we already have probably 100 million foreigners in this country. What's our country going to look like with 200 million? Remember, there's no shutting off the tap. There's no reservoir that we can drain of people. There is an endless and constantly refreshing supply of people that we can be swamped with, that we have been swamped with, and that we have not ejected. And you can just imagine the number of things they'll do once they do these things. These are the preliminary things. These are the prerequisites for what they really want to do. What do you think happens to the Constitution once they pack the Supreme Court? What type of laws do you think they'll pass once they eliminate the filibuster? All of these things that they want to do are just laying the groundwork to give them the infrastructure to legalize what they actually intend to do, which is eliminate the First Amendment, eliminate the Second Amendment, and throw dissidents in prison for their thoughts, just like they do in England, just like they do in Canada, just like they do in Australia and everywhere else. I mean, they are not shy about the fact that they are envious of the China-level control system social credit score. They're envious of the free speech restrictions that exist in Europe. They're trying to bring them here. Or they're trying to foist them on us here, despite it being illegal. It doesn't matter to them. And this is kind of a key thing to understand, actually, the mindset of the Democrats. And actually, we'll get into this with Chud the Builder. Because they do it to him. They're doing it to Shiloh Hendricks. They're doing it to anybody that they want to destroy for their language. Now, laws are supposed to, they're inadequate. They're incomplete. They have the burden of having to rely on the limitations of human language. But what they're there to do is to codify and solidify our morality, what we value, what we don't, what we know to be, a key component of our freedom and what is a limitation of that. That's what the laws are for. So, free speech exists above and beyond the Constitution. Free speech as a concept exist whether it's written down in law or not. Okay, now we have an update from Nick Sortor. Utah judge rules cameras will be allowed in the courtroom for alleged Charlie Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson's trial. Good. Americans should be able to see every part of this trial. So that's very good news. This is live, just breaking out of Provo, Utah. We have the clip. They will be allowing cameras, which I imagine means they'll be broadcasting the trial of Tyler Robinson. That's extremely good news. Let's watch the clip.
As we restarted, so it's still a problem.
Thank you. I appreciate all parties weighing in on this important matter. And I find that there was a violation of the standing decorum order that was in effect as of October 30th, 2025, based off what's been proffered, as well as the AMC order signed by the court. As previously stated by Ms. Visser, the court does have discretion in determining whether to terminate the broadcast of these proceedings. And again, if there are specific circumstances warrant such action, that the court would need to make findings in order to do so. I find that excluding the cameras from the courtroom would be disproportionate for this hearing. I find that giving, making it very clear, first, that the transmission cannot begin until court is in session and must end before, as the court ends the session, and cannot be filmed before or after. The filming of, as previously stated in the decorum order and EMC, must be followed to the letter. The sanction for today is that this camera will be relocated away from defense table to where the bailiff is, Mr. Jeff, where Jeff is standing over here. I want to immediately address any possible transmission of shackles, as previously stated by counsel, and remove the possibility of capture of screens of the computers at defense counsel's table as well. In addition, if there's further violations of the standing decorum order, this court does have the right and will exercise termination of broadcast of these proceedings. And I simply want to put all parties on notice, to the press, to all parties, that this court takes this very seriously. While the court believes in openness and transparency, it needs to be balanced with the constitutional rights of all parties in this case. As such, we will take a brief recess to allow the relocation of the camera and to the place indicated by the bailiff, and then we will resume these court proceedings. I am anticipating this take perhaps 5 minutes. All right. And then we'll come back on the record and handle the remaining of this hearing. I appreciate the patience of parties as we move forward. We are trying to do the best.
All right. So there you go. Again, very good news. Very good news to settle this drama that has embroiled the right wing since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I hope this settles it. I hope we get to watch and find out whether or not, you know, the evidence presented is legit. I wonder how long the trial is going to be. I mean, these trials can stretch for a while, especially if he's saying he's not guilty, which I believe is his official plea. Murder trials can take weeks sometimes. I wonder how much time this will take up. If the crew can let me know what the dates, if they set any dates for this trial, I'd be interested to know when this starts. That's very good. That's very good to hear. Cameras are going to be allowed. The proceedings are going to be broadcast live. And it seems like they are reserving the right to cut that off at any point based on the behavior of the people involved. They want to make sure that they're not taking advantage of the fact that it's being broadcast to try to sway the public opinion or even the jury, which is possible. So that's very interesting. That's very good. And I know they're really going above and beyond with Tyler Robinson in terms of, you know, securing him and all that, because they're under the belief that right wingers are violent, despite the trial being for the murder of one of our most prominent people. Yeah, you don't have to worry about right wingers trying to do anything about it. But obviously they are. But it's just in line with the just general mainstream thought that it's like whenever anybody attacks right wingers, it becomes this like, oh my God, we must protect the attacker. Oh no, they might get backlash. We literally saw it with Irina Zarutska, where the city, it was either the mayor or the city councilman in that area, is being like, you know, our judges are coming under threat. We've had to up security for our judges. It's like, why? Because they keep letting people out who murder people. Stop letting people out who murder people. That's not that complicated. That's not that hard. But anytime the left does something egregious and violent, it suddenly switches over to, oh no, the right might respond. You know how violent they are. No, we're the victims, you idiots. So I don't think they have too much to worry about anyway in that regard. Except for a Jack Ruby situation, except that we've seen this before, where, you know, if anybody who actually is right wing, anybody who actually cares about Charlie Kirk, wants this trial to go on. Nobody on either side, as far as I can tell, wants anything to happen to old Tyler Robinson. We want him nice and cozy and comfy and warm until we can send him to the electric chair. We want the best for him. The last thing we want is for Tyler Robinson to have anything happen to him, meaning that we never get the answers that are already tearing us apart. So we'll see. We'll see about that. 13 Republicans vote to nullify Donald Trump's executive order. More than a dozen Republicans defied President Trump on Wednesday by joining Democrats in a vote for a bill to nullify a major executive order. The U.S. House of Representatives voted 222 to 200 to advance a bill that would overturn a major executive order issued by Trump in March, which stripped collective bargaining rights from roughly 1 million federal workers. Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need dozens of Republicans going against Donald Trump, nullifying his order and joining the Democrats at this all important time. Thanks, guys. Well done. We already had a razor thin margin in the House. Then Marjorie Taylor Greene left. Nancy Mace is talking about leaving. So, I mean, you know, this might be it. And, you know, and we might have a month. Maybe we have a month and then the impeachments really start. I mean, they are impeaching. They're impeaching Hegseth. They're impeaching everybody they can, you know, reasonably blame on anything. I mean, it's completely out of control. And it's so utterly infuriating. The Republicans will not do anything. I almost said cannot. No, they can do a lot. They are not doing anything. They choose not to do anything ever. And there are stories that crop up every once in a while that really send the whole situation into overdrive. When you see and you understand, like, just how nonsensical literally any of this is. That it is beyond parody at this point that the Democrats actually just do whatever the hell they want. They are literally not bound by law. They are not bound by precedent. They are not bound by logic or reason. They are unbound. They're unrestricted. They're uncontained. And nobody on our side even seems to have a problem with it. Judge Boasberg, who you've heard his name a lot, he is like a cartoonishly evil villain who repeatedly exercises his power in an improper way, abuses his position as a judge to try to stop Trump's agenda. He has been a one-man seawall preventing Trump from doing anything that we voted for him to do. Judge Boasberg has single-handedly destroyed the votes of hundreds of millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, I should say. And what he's done most recently with Kristi Noem, again, is just utterly lawless. And it's so frustrating on the face of it. And then you extrapolate out and go, wait, they're not even in power right now and they're still acting this way. They still have the ability to abuse us like this. So what happened with Kristi Noem is that Judge Boasberg decided that despite Trump, you know, deporting people overseas, he got to decide otherwise. Judge Boasberg, some random dude nobody ever voted for ever, a guy who no American had ever heard of before this year, apparently, he is the one that gets to decide whether our president gets to enact the policies we voted for. Judge Boasberg gets to step in, even though the Supreme Court already said you're not allowed to institute nationwide injunctions. That doesn't matter, apparently. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We work our asses off to get Trump elected. We win the vote against all odds. Doesn't matter. Nothing he wants gets through. He tries to put things through. Judges stop it. We work it all the way up to the Supreme Court. We argue it all the way up to the Supreme Court. We get a victory from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says no, judges do not have the right to issue nationwide injunctions at a whim whenever Trump tries to do anything. It doesn't matter. They just keep doing it. Doesn't matter. Win at the election box, doesn't matter. Win at the Supreme Court, doesn't matter. They just assert these things. So what happened is, I'll just explain this off the top. What happened is, Judge Boasberg is having this hearing, this satanic-looking demonic monkey. Like, he's the ugliest dude you can possibly imagine. This dude said, you're not allowed to send deportation flights to this area, to, I think it was El Salvador or some other third country that we were deporting people to because the countries they came from don't want them, and we listen to that for some reason. Ridiculous. He issues an injunction that says you have to stop these flights, that you're not allowed to send people anymore. He issues a written injunction, a written decision that says explicitly and simply, you cannot fly people there anymore. Now, during the discussion prior to the decision, during the proceedings, Judge Boasberg mentioned at one point, asked a question about the logistics of bringing people back. Well, if there's a plane in the air already going there, can we recall it? If not, what do we do? Blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't in the written order. The written order had nothing about bringing people back or turning the planes around in midair and bringing them home. All it said was you can't send anymore. That's all it said. So the Trump administration followed that order to the letter. They didn't take his question during the proceedings as if it was, a lawful order. It wasn't. The lawful order is written down. It has to be. Because this is a legal proceeding and you have to be exact about what you're telling the other person to do. Like any other proceeding. I mean, this type of thing wouldn't happen in divorce court, right? You have it explicit in the written decision. That is what the outcome is of the proceedings. And then that's what the decision is. So the Trump administration never violated any of his orders. They never contradicted any of his orders. His orders said nothing about the planes that were en route or the planes that were already there, had already landed, already disgorged their passengers. But he decided that because they didn't turn the planes around in midair, because they didn't bring people back who'd already been sent, they were in contempt of court. Because they didn't follow an order he didn't issue, they're in contempt? I'm not being hyperbolic when I say lawless. They are just making things up. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why the Trump administration goes along with it. When it is both just prima facie, on the face of it, totally ridiculous what this guy's demanding. He's saying he's holding people in contempt of court, despite the fact that by all anybody's admission, they followed the written order to the letter. They didn't violate anything. It doesn't matter. He thinks that something he said during the proceedings should have been interpreted as a unspoken demand in the written order. They should have just assumed that that's what he meant. And because they didn't follow the order, he didn't issue, he's holding them in contempt. I mean, it's retarded. It's ridiculous. And the Trump administration is like trying to like argue with him. Like, what are we doing here? This is lawless. He's holding you in contempt of court for not following orders he never gave you. Days after Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem provided little information about her actions at a high-stakes deportation case, a federal judge on Monday expanded his criminal contempt probe into the matter, ordering a top Justice Department attorney to testify under oath about the episode. U.S. District Judge James Boasberg ordered Drew Ensign, a top DOJ lawyer involved in immigration litigation, to testify next week about a decision made by the administration officials in mid-March that resulted in the deportation of migrants to El Salvador under the Alien Enemies Act, despite the judge's order for flights carrying the migrants to turn around, pending a legal challenge to Trump's use of the act. Not true. That's not true. The judge's order did not include flights turning around. It just didn't. They're just lying. So now they're expanding this probe. Now they're expanding the number of people they're demanding come testify in front of them. Judge said the live testimony was necessary because Noem, who made the decision to allow the migrants to continue to be transferred to El Salvador, provided little information about the affair to the court in a sworn statement last week. It just utterly lawless. I'm telling you, it's like, so she did provide information. So the written order said you're not allowed to send any more planes. They didn't send any more planes. Judge Boasberg says, well, but you didn't bring the planes back. They said, well, we didn't have to. You didn't order that. And he says, well, you have to explain why. And they say, okay, the reason why is because you never ordered us to turn the planes around. And then he goes, well, that's not enough information. I'm going to double down on my attempt of court because you're not providing me enough information about what happened. Well, what happened is you didn't order the planes to turn around, so they didn't turn around. What more information could you possibly want? I don't think he has the right to stop the planes in the first place. What are we doing? I'm genuinely to the point where, like, I would actually just be over the moon if I found out Judge Boasberg himself was sent to El Salvador tomorrow. I don't even care anymore. What are we fighting for? What are we trying to uphold? The law doesn't exist. Why are we adhering to it? Authority is arbitrary. They're just doing whatever they want. Why don't we? I mean, you know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with just doing things despite precedent, despite laws, despite, I mean, that's what they're doing. Let's just do that. Who the hell is Judge Boasberg? Tell you what, Trump, just call me Judge Harrison and I'll just let you do whatever the hell you want. Oh, judge, but a judge approved it. I mean, is that as simple as it? You put some activists in robes and suddenly they're more powerful than the president? And get to spend endless hours, endless resources, weeks upon weeks upon weeks of discussions and negotiations and testimony and orders back and forth from the court and tying up our entire system. And you still can't release Kilmar Abrego Garcia. And we just allow this to happen, this as if this is the way our government is supposed to function. They have broken our government. This is not anything other than just an exercise of pure political power by people that are not in office, did not earn the vote, do not have a right to make any of these decisions. So there you go. In a blockbuster decision issued in April, it's been going on since April. Boasberg said probable cause exists to find the government in criminal contempt, but before his order could move forward with finding out who was responsible for defying his orders he never wrote, never gave. Ridiculous. I'm telling you, it's impossible to over-exaggerate just how fraudulent literally all of this is. But I guess we're going along with it, and I guess we'll just lose. I guess, you know, they'll get to do whatever the hell they want. We'll keep following laws that don't even exist. We'll keep listening to orders that were never even written. We'll be under the thumb of some guy nobody ever voted for. And then the Democrats will get back in power. And it'll be totally gloves off, no restrictions.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.